Keep that Bible passage open. You know, over the years, I've been in churches and preachers have got up and they've said, keep that Bible passage open. And I work really hard, I keep it open. And then they go and tell you some story about themselves or about something that happened to them or something totally unrelated to the passage that you've kept open. Please look down verse 1 in my former book. That's Luke, the Gospel of Luke. It's only a couple of pages before. So as we come to this, you need to understand that this book of Acts is being written by the same person that wrote the Gospel. The order in our English Bibles of Matthew, Mark, Luke and John doesn't help us to connect that Luke and Acts actually go together as part one and part two, but they do. If you look back to Luke, you'll see that Luke starts by saying, to my excellent Theophilus. Theophilus, was whether he's a real person or it means lover of God, I kind of think it was probably his patron. It was probably a real person, but we don't know who he is. However, Luke is saying in that former book, lover of God, to this person, whoever it is, notice what he writes about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day he was taken up into heaven. And I imagine if I was Theophilus and I got this for the first time and I was reading that, what would you be thinking? What would I be thinking if I was Theophilus? I'd be thinking, so this is going to tell me about what happens next. And guess what? It does. So if you've not read Acts, I should have given you a spoiler alert, really, shouldn't I? However, I haven't spoiled anything. If you've never read Acts, have a read. If you have read Acts, have a read, because it's a great book that shows how the church began. It shows all that happened after Jesus was taken up into heaven. And what we've got here are Jesus, more or less, his last words. This is one of the last conversations that he has with his close friends, the disciples, the ones who've been with him, the ones he's been investing in, the ones he's been teaching, the ones who have seen it all happen. And when I say they've seen it all, these are the ones who saw the miracles. These are the ones who were there when the fish and the bread were multiplied so crowds could be fed. They were there at the wedding when water was turned into wine. They were there when dead people came alive again. They were there when Jesus called out to Lazarus. They were there when he called up that little girl to stand up. They've seen that, but more, they were there when Jesus was arrested in the garden. They'd been with him at a meal to celebrate the biggest festival in the calendar. They got together and Jesus said, one of you is going to betray me. They were the ones who said, is it me? Me? And of course we know Judas was the one, but guess what? They did too. For in the garden, just as the soldiers came to arrest him, they all disappeared. They were so scared. And who would blame them? He'd been talking about a kingdom. He'd entered into Jerusalem. People had cried out, Hosanna, here's the king. This is the one. Read back in Luke. It's all there. It's in the first book. They had an expectation that the kingdom would come. Jesus was the king. And because they're his friends, they've got to be the cabinet, at least in the cabinet. And maybe even right hand, left hand side of the king in his kingdom. They were going to see Israel restored. All the promises that the prophets had spoken about. It was all going to come together and they were expecting it. They're the ones Jesus is speaking with here. These are the ones who've seen him arrested, killed and brought back. He's alive again. That is mind-boggling, isn't it? It's so familiar to us though. We've heard the story of Easter. We know he came back and so we take it for granted. But brothers and sisters, don't ever fall for that. That is the most amazing thing that has happened in history. In fact, it is the most amazing thing in history. Nothing will ever eclipse it. That is it. And here we have a conversation. Luke has recorded. It doesn't end there. So I think in these first 8 verses, we need to pay very careful attention to what Luke is saying, Jesus said. We need to pay very careful attention to what's being given to us. And what we have is an explanation that after his suffering, he showed himself to these men. And then he had a conversation with them. And he says to them, look down, you'll see it there. In verse 4, halfway through. Don't leave Jerusalem. Wait for the gift my father promised, which you've heard me speak about. Wait. The Holy Spirit is going to come on you. Now, please get their perspective again. They've heard him speak of the kingdom. They saw him come into the city on a donkey and cloaks go down, palm branches be waved. The whole city was in turmoil because he'd come. This is a big event. Then he dies. But he's alive again. So what would the natural question be on my lips if I was with them? It would be, so now? Is it now? Is the kingdom going to come now? Am I going to be a member of the cabinet now? What portfolio will I get? What region will I be the governor of? That's what I would be thinking. And I'm sure it's what they're thinking. But what Jesus says in his last words on earth to them, it's really quite interesting. Stay put for now. And then I want you to be my witnesses. In fact, what he has here are the most important words he could give them for this point in time. He reminds them that they are to keep the main thing the main thing. In fact, if I paraphrase him, he's saying the main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. That's what I want you to do. Look at verses 6 and 7. Don't be distracted. In verses 6 and 7, they're saying, is this the time? Is this the kingdom? Is this when we're going to get it all? Don't be distracted. That's not the main thing. In fact, he says to them, look, the times, the dates, the hours, the way, the order is all, don't worry about that. That's actually not your concern. Which would have been kind of devastating news, I think, for them, if they were pinning their hopes on being sort of significant in his kingdom. Don't worry about that sort of stuff. Well, what is it that we're to worry about? What is the main thing? What are we to concentrate on? And then he says, you are going to be, look at it in verse 8, my witnesses. The word witness comes from a word which actually gives us our English word for martyr. Now, that's not a cheery word in our language, is it? If I was going to be a witness in a court case, I'm okay with that. If I'm going to be a martyr, now that's got a very different understanding, very different meaning. What Jesus is saying to them, though, is I want you to actually bear witness, to be the witnesses to Jerusalem, also in Judea, also in Samaria, and actually to the ends of the earth. That's the main thing. The main thing is to be my witnesses. Brothers and sisters, this is a significant set of last words, isn't it? Last words can be very, very significant. Simon was telling me about someone just recently who had loved Jesus all his life. He got to 98. And then as his family were with him in the hospital with a gas mask on so he could breathe, they said, we're sorry, we didn't get a message for you from the Queen. And he said, it's much better to talk to the King. Isn't that a great, what great last words? My own dad, when he was fading in hospital, a friend came to visit him and said, oh, Alan, won't it be great when we get to heaven? And you'll be able to see all the people from Bible study. You'll be able to see Jack. You'll be able to see Bob. Won't it be great when we get there, eh? And then he left and my dad turned to me. He said, you know what? When I get to heaven and it's me and Jesus, I'm not going to be looking for anyone from Layla Park. And those words have been burned into my memory. It's really the last conversation I had with him. And it tells me when Dad was that close to losing his life, the thing that was most vital to him was his relationship with Jesus. I'm so privileged, so blessed to have that as a memory of him. And here in these words from Jesus, don't think that this would be a passing comment. This is not empty words. This is not a hollow conversation. This is a significant message to the church. That's why Luke has written it in this part of the book. This is the history of the church, how it started. You need to know this. You are to be my witnesses. You are to bear witness to me. The main thing is to talk about Jesus. The main thing in all that we do as a church is to know him and to demonstrate to others who he is, what his love is like, and to let them know about him. How is it then that over the centuries of the history of the church, we keep getting it wrong? We keep getting caught up with working either on things like, I wonder what time we are in, what epoch of history this is, trying to work out the times and the dates. So much ink has been spilt on that topic. It's a waste. But then there are other things that creep in too. And sometimes they're very good things. And they come into the work of the church, so much so that the church loses this message as its main thing. Many years ago, when I was young, and sadly that is many years ago, in Melbourne, on the side of the Salvation Army, there was a message on the massive billboard, although I think actually it was painted on the building, and it said, Jesus saves. All of Melbourne saw that every time they drove into the city. Great message. Years later, they painted over it and it said, God cares. Now, on one level, that's true. But it shows a direction that Christianity has drifted into. We no longer need salvation. We need care. Well, of course we need care. But you know what our greatest need is? To be rescued. We need to be rescued from hell. We need to know about salvation. And the sad thing is that that drift is actually testimony to a drift that the church often falls for. We see great needs in our community. I'm on the board of Anglicare. Let me tell you, I have a passion for seeing the care that people need delivered. I do. But the greatest care and the greatest love that we can show others is to give them the message of Jesus Christ, which is what Jesus is saying here. The main thing is for you to be witnesses to me, to testify. Do you notice that? The message, the main message is Jesus. I want you to be witnesses for me. There's number one. The message is Jesus. The method is to testify, to talk, to say to people, you know what? Let me tell you about Jesus. How do you do that? I want to be really practical. This may not seem very theological, so if you've come as a theological college principal, you may mark me down here, but Mike loves me, and I know he won't. But here's a very practical tip for you. What one word would you use to describe what God has done? Just one word. See if you can put what Christ Jesus has done into one word. What would that word be? I want you to imagine in your pocket you've got an imaginary piece of paper. Take it out. And in the other pocket or in your purse you've got an imaginary pen. Take it out and write on the top of that imaginary piece of paper one word that describes what Christ has done. What would it be? What describes the work of Jesus? You got your one word? Can I give you a tip? This week, pray for an opportunity to use that one word. I did that in a church that we were in Adelaide and said to people, pick your one word. And one of the girls in the group said, grace, that's the word for me. But how do I use that? That week, we've been praying for each other that we'd have opportunity to use our one word. And she said she was dropping her kids off at school and I think doing the pickup actually. And she just buckled one in and the other one was escaping out the window and she managed to get it back in. And she looked across the road and her friend was doing exactly the same. And her friend was almost exasperated and she said, sometimes you wonder, why are we in this? Why are we so busy? Why is it so hard? What is it that can keep us going? And my friend looked across the road and said, well, it's grace. The one word. She rang me up and she said, I can't believe it. I used my one word. I was thrilled. But what's your one word? If you get the one word, can I push you on a little bit further? Go for one verse. What's one verse you know that talks about Jesus and what he's done? It has to be about Jesus. Don't give me a verse, you know, out of Leviticus or out of Deuteronomy or something. Give me a verse that talks about what Jesus has done. One verse. Now, here's the thing. If you do a lot of training and courses, usually you're forced to remember, you know, the book, the reference, the verse and everything. I don't care if you don't remember those, as long as you know the verse. And if you're struggling for a verse, just Just think of one and write down the words you remember. And when we're having some supper afterwards, why don't you talk to your friends and say, here's my one word, here's my one verse. But what's your verse? You see, for me, Acts chapter 4 verse 12 is a great verse. Now, I know the chapter and I know the verse. But then again, I'm a bishop, and if I don't, yeah, that's not good. Here's what it says, and this is what's important. There is no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. Jesus is the only one. Isn't that a great passage? It's a great reminder to us of how significant his name is. One word, whether it's grace or love or mercy, whatever your one word is. One verse that speaks about what he's done. You know what? If you've got one word or one verse, you've got a conversation that you can have with someone this week. And you'll be faithful to what Jesus is saying here, to be his witnesses. Yes, I'm not saying stop caring for people, and I'm not saying don't get involved in doing work that are good works. Not at all. But please don't neglect the main thing, which is to speak of Jesus. Because even our denominations do that. It's a disaster. We must keep speaking of Jesus. And here's another thing. If you've got one word and one verse, why don't you go for one story? You got a favorite gospel story? I tested this on my kids when they were younger, and I said to my daughter, what's your favorite story? And she said, the Good Samaritan. Dad, I love the story of the Good Samaritan. And I said, great, can you tell me the story of the Good Samaritan? So she told me the story of the Good Samaritan. She did it in her way, in her words, and it was so compelling. And I mean, I am a dad. And I turned to my son. I said, Tim, what's your favorite story? What's the one that you would tell? He said, I love that one about Ehud, you know, where he gets his knife and he's got his left hand and he puts the knife in the guy's guts and it closes in around his hand. I said, great story, son. Not really about Jesus, but keep working on that one. Pick another. So there are some great stories you can tell, Ehud. Why not think of a story that helps you to explain to someone about the work of Jesus? I love his stories. The story of the pearl of great price. Do you know that one? Or the story of the treasure in the field? They're almost back to back in Matthew's gospel. They're two little short stories. I love them because they're short. And I love them because it's such a riddle. You see, there's a guy who goes out, discovers a field with a treasure in it, gives up everything to buy the field so that he can get the treasure. Now, that's a great story to tell someone because they go, well, how does that work? And you can start explaining. Is there something in life that is so important you would give up everything so that you possess it, that you would get it? Wouldn't it be great to have eternal life? What would you give up to get that? But the story's got a twist. Have you ever thought about the story? What if it's God who gets the field and I'm his treasure? And what he's given up is his son to get me. Wow. If you've got one word, if you've got one verse, if you've got one story, then can you pray for each other this week that you might be able to talk about the main thing? Because you know what people need to hear? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. To the very ends of the earth, people need to know about Jesus. There's no other name under heaven by which we can be saved. And people need to be saved. We do need to do good works. We do need to be involved in all sorts of things. But you know what? Our greatest need, according to Jesus, is to know him and his salvation and his love, his forgiveness, his mercy. You read on in Acts and you only have to go into the next chapter and you'll find Peter. And guess what his sermon is about? It's about Jesus. Surprise, surprise. And as you read on, you get to Stephen's speech. You know what it's about? It's about Jesus. It's really not rocket science, is it, brothers and sisters? So how come we keep getting it wrong? I'll tell you why. We got this kind of bias. And it is hard sometimes to speak to our friends about what is really significant and really important. So as a beggar who's found some bread, let me share it with you. One word, one verse, one story is a great way to get a conversation going about Jesus. And hopefully that will help you to keep the main thing the main thing. Because the main thing is to keep the main thing, and not drift off into other stuff. Tonight, why don't you share your word, your verse, and your story together, and challenge each other. Not to have a bigger story or a longer story or a better verse, but actually how you might share that with someone this week and pray for each other. That'd be a great thing to keep doing. I know you do it. I'm really encouraged by what I've heard in conversation, and I want to encourage you to keep doing it, to keep sharing that love with others. Let me pray. Father, I do thank you that in your mercy, you moved someone to tell us about your son Jesus. And it might have been a few people. It might have been through all sorts of different methods, but you moved them in love to share the good news with us. And I pray you would likewise move us to share the good news with others. And as we do good works, as we care for refugees, as we care for the people who are in unfortunate circumstances, as we do our work in business, as we engage in our community, would you help us to keep the main thing, and to speak of Jesus? Amen.